Exodus 3 verse 10 it says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." Let's pray. Blessed Lord, we thank you this evening as we again gather in your house, and as we look at this precious book of the Old Testament, Exodus. We pray that you would guide and lead us this evening as we present your message, O God. We ask your blessings upon us, for we ask it in your name. Amen. I would like for you to turn and keep your finger there in Exodus, and we'll come right back. Go to the book of the Acts. In Acts chapter 20. And in Acts 20, we'll read a few verses. And in Acts 20, beginning at verse 21, it says, Paul speaking, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." I'd like to speak this evening on the subject of the call to the ministry. The call to the ministry, we mentioned this a few weeks back. I think the last time we spoke on Exodus 3, and I was wrestling with dealing with this, or finally dealing with verse 14, excuse me, when he says, "I am that I am." But we spent time in dealing with the calling of Moses, and to again understand that there is such a thing as a God called ministry. And the reason I say that, because many in our day don't believe that God still gives a call to the ministry, and the ministry is just seen as a different profession as any other job. But I believe it without question that the Bible teaches so clearly regarding the aspect of the call to the ministry. That is, that the call to the ministry is of God. In other words, He has His man, whomever that person is. He sets him aside. He gifts him. He equips him. Deals with his heart. Draws him. Causes him to finally capitulate and surrender to the call. And then the Lord commissions him to the ministry. And again, I say this because the call to the ministry by God is not a worldly occupation like a regular trade or business or profession. Again, I say this because in our day, this is how many people consider the essence of the ministry. That it's just a professional. Or excuse me, it's just a profession. like any other. You know, you go to school, you go to seminary, you go to college, you know, you, and then, you know, you go and you pastor a church. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, and I wish there was a good, decent seminary here in San Antonio. I would have loved to go to seminary and a Bible college. And I did go to Bible college 1 year. But in saying this, many have done away with the personal call by God to the ministry. Thus, the ministry is just relegated to nothing more than a job. It's just an occupation. It's just a profession. But we must concern ourselves, dear brethren, this evening with the question, what say it, the Scriptures? Not be concerned with man's tradition or even what the college professor might say, or even what mommy and daddy might say, the one little Johnny or whoever it might be to get into the ministry. Again, it's not what man has to say, but it comes down to what does the Word of God say concerning the ministry. And in doing so, then we must shut ourselves up to the Scriptures. Now, concerning the teaching in the Word of God regarding the call to the ministry, I think that the Bible is very clear and conspicuous. That is, it is very, very clear. But I believe we can be dogmatic about our subject. Or, on the other side of the coin, you must come to conclusion that the call to the ministry is very vague, blurred, you know, with some sort of obscurity, and so now it's left up to the individual. And so I ask these questions purposely because of the modern day view concerning the call to the ministry. And sad to say, some of these camps are under the umbrella of sovereign grace churches who believe that there is no special inward call from God to the ministry, and they treat the ministry as another profession. But I believe dogmatically that the Scriptures give full proof of a God-called ministry. In other words, as I said, God draws the heart. It's almost like the experience of salvation. God draws the heart. He deals with your soul. And there's a very good verse there in, I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:1, that if anybody desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good word. And so there's nothing wrong with desiring. But not everybody that desires has the call or the gift of the ministry. But it does begin there. I understand that. There has to be a somewhat of a desire. But again, God puts that desire in your heart. And then He blesses you with that particular gift. And I believe that He also burns within the depths of your soul a particular verse that He embeds in your heart that you can't escape it. In other words, like the gospel, the outward and inward call, I believe that the call to the ministry is also an outward and an inward call. The inward call, as I just said, God draws you, God equips you, puts that desire, burns the verse in your heart, bestows upon you the gift. And then there is the outward call. God commissions us. He sets us aside. But then the outward call must also be manifested. That is, the gift has to be manifested, or if you wish, confirmed. Not, I'm not talking about laying the hands and all that. I don't have no problems with that. The laying hands of presbytery we've done here before. But I mean confirming the element that it has to be witnessed as that person who says God has called him. He has to be tested to see if he really has a call. And so the manifestation of the gift, the testing of the gift, is in the visible church, and there is that consensus within the church that gives credence to that particular call. The people will see it and say, God has gifted this man. God has blessed this man with the aspect of the gift. I will share with you, and I've done it before, but I'll share with you again, the verses that the Lord burned within my heart and in my soul when He called me to the ministry. And I understand that all these verses were verses already used in the Scriptures and used by other men whom they were originally given to. But nonetheless, I don't know how to explain to you that these verses were quickened to my heart. And no matter how hard I would try to get them out, forget them, remove them, I couldn't do it. And it was just a constant dealing in my heart with it. First one is in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And this one I remember so distinctly because I was going to Laredo and I remember I had to pull over halfway down to Laredo and just I couldn't take it anymore and I had to pull over and pray and get my heart right with God because I did not want to, again I have to admit, I did not want to get in the ministry. I did not want to be in the ministry. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 12 it says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who had enabled me for that He counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. And it was that last phrase, putting me in the ministry, that I felt that God was putting that in my heart, that the Lord was drawing me and telling me, I'm going to put you in the ministry. You're going to be put in the ministry. And this verse, though I have never really memorized it, like all of a sudden I almost knew it verbatim. And I couldn't get it out. It was implanted in the depths of my heart. And I daily I would deal with it and seek the Lord. And of course, it's the other part that you would go, it's just me. I'm doing this. So, you know, there was that battle within my heart. And then there was another one. And that one was in Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. In Jeremiah 20 verse 9 it says, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. And again, the same thing with this verse. Quick into my heart, I couldn't erase it, I couldn't get it out. It just, every day it just seemed it was right there, calling me out, just, you know, and dealing with my heart. And then the one that finally I had to finally give in, and I'd never shared much of this with my wife, and then I realized that I had to tell her what was going on within me. Though I suspect my wife knew something was going on. And the one that really nailed me, and finally I had to settle it in my heart and say, all right, Lord, Isaiah 6 and 8. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. And it was then that I just finally gave in. And though I still at times fought it, and like I said, I went before Brother Pat and I gave him 26 reasons why I shouldn't be in the ministry. I wrote everything I could think of that would disqualify me for the ministry and and what I was afraid Brother Pat might do, he exactly did. Went through every single one of those 26 reasons. And it was one of those things like, I didn't have an excuse anymore. What shall I do? In the ministry, I can't even speak the English language. What in the world am I doing? But it was passages like the one that I just read in the life of Moses that encouraged me. Or again, we see in Exodus chapter 3, God telling Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Well, no question that Moses is fighting the call to the ministry, though, if you recall, 40 years earlier, he was ready to go. And now, all of a sudden, he's very reluctant. He's making excuses. He doesn't want to go. And in Exodus chapter 4, we know the story. Moses again in verse 1 of Exodus 4 gives the excuse. Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord had not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that that is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, and his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. In other words, God is qualifying him for the ministry. God is gifting him for the ministry. God is giving him those things that he needs for the ministry. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also the first two signs, another hearken unto thy voice, that they shall take out of the water of the river and pour it upon dry ground, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon dry ground. And so Moses realizes these are miracles and signs that are apparently proving his ministry, proving his call. And he realizes he has no more excuses. And then he says, like he had the ace in his sleeve, you know, says, I'm going to finally pull this one out and say, Lord, this is why I can't go. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And we don't know how much that verse there has ministered to my soul in these past 20 years. And the Lord said unto him, my rebuke also, who had made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go. That's simple. It was no more arguing, no more fighting. Go. 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 And this is the blessing of the heart. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. If God sends us, we must go. It is not dependent upon our own ability. It is God's power. Remember, Paul would say there in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 3, Who is sufficient for this? Our sufficiency is of God. Turn to Acts 20 one more time as we consider again the call to the ministry. We'll zero in on one verse. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's seven things I have as an outline, but I'm going to deal with the first point. Number one, the divine course. Number two, the design of this course. Number three, the difficulty of this course. Number four, the direction of this course. Number five, the delight of this course. Number six, the destiny of this course. And then lastly, the desire of this course. Again, Paul had a call from God. He had a God-called ministry. Again, in Acts 20:24, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Here we see the divine course. The word received here in the Greek is lambano, and it means to take hold of, to get hold of. In so the author's word study dictionary, again it says this word means to, quote, to receive what is given or imparted, imposed to obtain, to partake of, unquote. In other words, God imparted unto Paul the call to the ministry, and therefore Paul obtained the call, or if you wish, he partook of the call, he received the call, or if you wish, he took, lay hold, he got hold, he laid hold of the ministry. God was the initiator, not Paul. God called the Apostle Paul. God chose the Apostle Paul for the ministry. In Acts 9:15 it says, for he, that is Paul, God speaking to Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Paul did not of his own accord seek the ministry. Paul did not grow up wanting to be a preacher. Paul did not grow up wanting to go out and preach the gospel. Paul got a call from God. A call to the ministry. And so Paul did not of his own accord seek the ministry. I won't go through all these verses, but I'll just make mention of them. First of all, we have to understand Paul persecuted and wasted the church, Galatians 1:13. Paul hated the gospel. In other words, if you recall, Paul, the one that gave consent to the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7:58. And in Acts 8:1 and Acts 22:20, you see that. Paul wanted to destroy the church and the ministry. You see that in Acts 9:1 and 2. Everybody, those that would call themselves Christians, they were afraid. They were fearful of Paul. If they knew Paul was coming to the city, they would flee, they would hide. Because they knew what it would mean. They would be in prison. And some of them were put to death. So Paul did not seek the ministry. He did not get up one morning and said to his fellow Pharisees, you know what? I'm tired of persecuting the church. I think today I'm going to start preaching the gospel. I guess I'll go preach the gospel. It seems like a good profession. Maybe there's a lot of money in that business. I think I'll become a preacher. Exactly what Paul did, didn't he? No. God set Paul aside. God called him to the ministry. God chose him to the ministry. God apprehended him.
God subdued him. God saved him. Then God gifted him. God called him. And of course, it is Paul's own testimony that God called him. Notice in Galatians, notice what he says so clearly. In Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised them from the dead. And if you continue in the same chapter, you know that in verses 6 through 9, he deals with the aspect of a false gospel and to be careful that we don't preach a false gospel. And anybody brings a false gospel, whether it be man or an angel, he says, let him be anathema, let him be cursed. Verse 10, he says, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of God, of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, and neither went up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. So Paul, given his own testimony, clearly tells us that it was not of man, but that it was a God-called ministry, that it was God that called him out and gifted him and equipped him, yea, and sent him out. So again, we see that God called him. God enabled him for the ministry. God equipped him for the ministry. I won't take the time, but if you were to read in Acts 26, verses 9 through 18, as he gives his testimony to King Agrippa, and if you read through there, it speaks about God calling him. He gives that testimony to a lost man, that God had called him to the ministry. And then, of course, in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6, Paul tells us that God had enabled him. Again, it wasn't his own strength, his own power, his own wisdom, his own understanding, his own sufficiency, but that God had made him an able minister of the gospel. Paul is saying, God is the one that has made us able ministers. God is the one that has made us sufficient ministers. You notice again, if you were to read in that text, it uses the word hath, H-A-T-H. It's in the past tense. Something that God had already done in his soul. That God had enabled him for the ministry. Let's write in that whole context in the chapter before in 2 Corinthians 2 when he speaks about the two effects of the gospel being a savor of life unto death and a savor of death unto death and life unto life, the effect of the gospel. So Paul is very clear in establishing that God had equipped him for the ministry. Paul says, God has made us able ministers. That phrase, had made us, in the Greek is hikanu, which means to enable, but it also means to qualify or to render competent. To render somebody fit Thayer's lexicon would tell us that it means to equip one with adequate power to perform the duties of one. Interesting that it's the same Greek word that is used in Colossians 1:12 when it says that God has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In other words, God is the one that qualifies us to heaven. And God was the one that qualified Paul for the ministry. And so it is God that had made Paul fit for the ministry. And like salvation, God's the one that took the initiative. And He does the same thing in calling ministers into the ministry. God is the one that saves us and renders us fit for heaven. He qualifies us for heaven. And in the same manner, when He deals with the calling to the ministry, He qualifies us to the ministry. God renders us fit for the ministry. God equips us for the ministry. And that is exactly what He did for Moses. He equipped him. He made him fit for the ministry. He enabled him for the ministry. And so, in those texts, it shows that Paul, again, without question, he had a call to the ministry, and that it was of God. Not of man, but of God. Turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. And know what it says at verse 11. 2 Timothy 1:11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentile. And the word appointed here basically means to put in place, to set in order, to lay down. And then, of course, that text that we read earlier in 1 Timothy 1:12, where Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who enabled me, what? Put in me in the ministry. And that word, putting me and appointed, are the same Greek word. And it means, the word enable means to be endued with power, to be endued with strength, to be able to do that which God calls us. And dumano. And means to put. We know dumano comes from the word dunamis, power. God empowered him. God gave him the power that was needed. Does the impact or the power that God enables a man for the ministry. And so Paul's call to the ministry was not again by his parents, was not by his friends, it was not by his relatives, it was not by his brethren, it was not by his pastor. No, no. It was not flesh or blood. It was of God. And so I believe that Paul shows it without question that the ministry is a divine calling. A divine course. There are also verses outside of Paul's own testimony of a God-called ministry. We know that Dr. Luke is the one that wrote the book of the Acts. And I believe he's in agreement with Paul that it is God that called men into the ministry. Turn to Acts 13. In Acts 13, and verse 2, it says, and they minister to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Paul for the work whereunto I have called them." So God is saying here through Luke that it was Him that separated them, set them apart, appointed them to the ministry. And that word "set apart" is the same Greek word as "appoint" in Galatians 1:15 when Paul speaks about that God had appointed him and separated him to the ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches that the ministry is of God. In John 15:16, where he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." What is a calling for individual election? Could be, but I believe it can also be applied to the aspect of the ministry, that it is God that called those specific men, those apostles, those disciples, that they went forth with the ministry and God blessed them. Christ says, "I sent you forth," remember, "amongst wolves," in Luke chapter 10. And so we could go through various verses again to show that there is some truth to the aspect of a God called ministry. We see this in the life of Paul. We see this in the life of Moses. We see this in the life of Isaiah. We saw it earlier in Isaiah 6:10. But look at a couple others real quickly. Jeremiah. I think you have the same thing in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, because the calling is of God, not of man. But again, it is of God. In Jeremiah chapter 1, in Jeremiah 1, the first four verses give you the time and who was the king. And in verse 4 of Jeremiah 1 it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations." What is Jeremiah's response to this? "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, say the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I have set thee this day, set thee over the nations and over the kingdom to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build, and to plant." And if you want a definition of what the cause of the ministry is and what a pastor should be doing, here you have it right here. This is the duty of the minister as he preaches. He is to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and to plant. What a mighty call of God to this glorious prophet, Jeremiah. Verse 17. "Therefore, gird up thy loin, arise, and speak unto them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and a brace with embracing walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, But they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Wow. What a call. Can you imagine God calling and telling you what's going to happen? My. That's Jeremiah. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel 2, verses 1 through 4. Ezekiel 2, verse 1, it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against us. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." You go into chapter 3. "Moreover," verse 1, "he said unto me, Son of man, eat this without fineness, eat this roll, go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with the roll that I have given thee. Then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness," which I believe is the type of the Word of God. "And he said unto me, Son of man, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak my words unto them." And you notice a lot of what is being said here. They're qualified into what they are to speak. They're not to speak their own concept and ideas and teaching. They are to speak what God has told them. Thus saith the Lord. So clear. Verse 10. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my word that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear." And then he speaks about the Spirit taking him up. And then I will read the rest of the verses, and that was from verse 17 all the way to verse 27. And it continued to show that call of the ministry, God calling them, choosing them, enabling them, sending them out, qualifying them for the ministry. And then the one in Amos, this is one of my favorite ones. Amos. Oh, Amos. My. Amos 7. I love this one. Oh, Amos. Doing the work of a shepherd. Every day going out tending to the flock. Verse 15. "And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." Wow. That was a quick calling, wasn't it? Tending with the flock, and next thing you know, Amos, go. There's many other examples that I think we've given you enough. And I believe we have many verses in the Old Testament as well in the New Testament show the truth regarding the element of a God-called ministry. Again, it is without question that God calls us. He chooses us. He commissions us. He sets us aside. He enables us. And He makes us sufficient for the purpose of the ministry. It is not a mere profession or an occupation. Though I understand it can be called that, but to understand that it is a God-called ministry. And without question, the ministry, it is a divine course. In other words, it comes directly from God. Let me close again with Acts 20. And there's another study, but I don't even take the time. I won't even take the time for that. That shows that the word elder, pastor, bishop, they're all one and the same. The one that God calls to be the overseer of the flock. I mean, the New Testament clearly shows that aspect of the gifts that are given by God to men that He sets aside. Not that they're qualified for the gifts, but He qualifies them. He gives them the gift. Again, he says in Acts 20 and in verse 24, here we have the divine course. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received. In other words, the ministry that I have received, it is a divine course. Not only we see the divine course, but as I said, the design of this course. What is the design of the course? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. The difficulty of the course. He says at the beginning, but none of these things move me. To understand, you get into the ministry, it's going to be difficult. You have to deal with difficult people. You have to deal with difficult problems. There's situations that come up and the call to the ministry. It's a difficult ministry. And I think that's why many who were pastors quit the ministry, because they really did not have to call. Because God's the one that gives you to help you to go over those difficult times because of the difficulty of the course. And as Paul would say, none of these things move me. The direction of this course, neither count I my life dear. To understand, it's not about Joel, it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm not here to persuade you, persuade God, what He has put in my heart to speak. I'm not here to make you, as it were, feel good and all those things. I'm not here to please you. I said persuade. I mean, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please God. And sometimes that's very hard. And that's why it's very hard at times to bring difficult messages. But that comes with a calling. Go, he told Moses. Say this. They'll make faces. And I say it many times that I preach and I see some of you make faces. Don't be afraid of their faces. You must preach. And the difficulty of this course, to understand, none of these things move me, neither count on myself dear. The direction again of the course, neither count on my life dear. The destiny of the course, so that I might finish my course. The gifts of God are without repentance. It is until, and I hope I die a preacher, that the last day I die is the day that I preach the Word of God. That's what I hope. Whether that would happen, I don't know. I could get sick. I could get very sick, not be able to preach. I don't know what God has in the future. But if you ask me what I would want, that's what I would want. The destiny of this course, so I might finish the course. And how? With the delight of this course. How? What does it say? That I might finish it with how? With joy. with joy. With joy. That I may finish my course with joy. That's the delight of the course. This is the delight. And of course, the desire of the course. And that is in 1 Timothy 3:1. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of the bishop, he desires a good thing. And so I believe that the Word of God is very clear in establishing the fact that there is a thing called a God-called ministry. And as I've told many people often, don't get into ministry except God has called you. I know it's a good thing to desire it and all that, but you better make sure God has called you. If you have not wrestled with God and fought with God, I would say be very careful. Don't get ahead of yourself. Does it make it easier? No. As I said, sometimes a very difficult time. But then on the other side of the coin, sometimes a very joyful time. I've had very, very sweet and joyful times in the ministry. But then there have been also difficult times. But nonetheless, because I know God has called me, I can persevere. I can continue. I can go. Because I know that He has enabled me and called me to go. And that is exactly what God is going to do with Moses. He tells Moses, go. And to understand, I will be with thee. And I think that is what sustained Moses throughout his ministry. And this is why I started to preach through Exodus, because Moses is one of those Old Testament characters I've always enjoyed reading about and falling in love with, this man called Moses. Because you think about it, he had a church of about 2-3 million people. How in the world did he deal with those people? Unbelievable. They were always murmuring and complaining about every little thing. But he continued. He persevered because God had called him and enabled him to the ministry. And that is what made the difference. Else, I can assure you, Moses would have quit and said, I've had it. Let Aaron or somebody else finish taking with this flock. No. God graced them and God blessed them. The one thing I do enjoy about Moses, he was very humble. He is called the meekest man in the world. Because he understood that his calling was of God. So he didn't go around with a big old chip on his shoulder. In other words, I don't want to misquote that. As in salvation, I believe we can apply this also from the perspective of the call to the ministry. For who make it thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as though thou hast not received it? And that can be applied, as I said, not only to the aspect of salvation, but I believe also with the aspect of the calling to the ministry. Can I have a brother come forward?